We're going to sing for us tonight, Psalm 143. You find that in your Bible, Psalm 143. I'm going to bring a lesson in light of the missions conference beginning on Sunday. I did not listen to the messages from Brother Caleb and Brother Jason, but I got from both of them the gist of the message when I got back into town. It sounded like they were both right on target for the conference, and I appreciate so much their filling in Sunday. We'll hear the song and then Psalm 143. Listening to the, I wonder if that storm is going to start in November or next year after whoever's elected president takes office, because it seems like there's a certain group of people that are bound and determined to win this thing. One of our men voted yesterday. I get this thing turned around here. One of our men voted yesterday and was given, he's registered for one party. When he got to the voting booth, he had been given by a woman the other party's ballot. So he took it up there and said, "This is the wrong ballot." And she gave him another one. Got up there, it was still the wrong ballot. Maybe it was an accident. But I'm going to tell you something. It seems like that crowd's bound and determined to win in November. And, I'm telling you, it's funny. Last night I was listening to the election results on WBBM coming back, and interspersed with the results was the news that 44 people were dying in tornadoes. Tornadoes in February? I guess that's just coincidence. Maybe just nothing to it. Maybe there's not. I don't think God's very happy when the best America can produce are baby killers and folks that want to redefine marriage and they want to tax you through the roof. And I don't know. God has to be unhappy with this country. And boy, I'm telling you, you better get you young people, bless your heart. And by the way, I think they've had a good week in the new building over there. I think they've enjoyed that. Been fun for them. It was fun to pull in the lot this morning and look up and see class in session. And here was a boy looking out the window. So I waved. So, new motivation to pay attention and do well in class because the windows now give you away. But you young people better build your life on the strong foundation of God's Word and His principles because, brother, I'm telling you, we could be in for a rocky ride beginning next year. That's the honest truth. Unbelievable. But anyway, Psalm 143. We've been talking about being in the presence of God. And we talked about being in His presence a couple of weeks ago out of Hebrews chapter 4 at the throne of grace. We talked about being in His presence last week. To have our needs met, to present Him with our needs. And I want to talk tonight on the subject of being in His presence to learn His will. And I'm specifically talking about the will of God for every member of Faith Baptist Church concerning the area of this Faith Promise missions and giving to missions. So I want to pray about this tonight, and I want to talk to you. Maybe this will help you as we get ready for Sunday's conference. Dear Father, bless us tonight. Give us, I pray, a good hearing from Your Word. Give us a hunger and thirst to know it. And help me as I teach in these moments. And thank You for the dedication of these folks to be here on this kind of night. And Lord, I don't want to drag it out forever. Get done and get them home in a decent time. So help me in Jesus' name and amen. Look, if you will, at verse number 7 of Psalm 143. Hear me speedily. This is David. O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be likened to them that go down into the pit. Let's skip down to verse number 10, where David is praying and says, teach me to do thy will. Teach me to do thy will. Now, we have the blessed privilege of going into the presence of our Heavenly Father for various and sundry reasons. We have Jesus seated at God the Father's right hand on the throne of grace. Jesus, our high priest, is the sovereign of grace. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. He can use and dispose of and control grace at His discretion because He's the sovereign of grace. Nobody calls Him on the carpet. He's not accountable to anybody. He doesn't have to answer to anybody's questions about why this or why that because He's the sovereign of grace. And I'm glad that He is. We have also learned that we have the opportunity to go into His presence to present our needs before Him. We talked about that last week. Now, we also have the opportunity to go into His presence to learn His will concerning our lives in specific areas. Now, the will of God is an important matter, friend, for every Christian. Ought to be an important matter to me and ought to be an important matter to you. Not just the teenagers. Sometimes we talk about emphasize the will of God, the teenagers, the will of God. The will of God's important for teenagers. It's also important for married men and married women. The will of God's important for any child of God at any age. The will of God is a blessed thing. I think about Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God ought to be important. I will receive all the blessings I can receive from God if I will behave and live and stay in His perfect will for my life. All right? Now, the general will of God is made known to us in this book right here. Okay, it's pretty much the same for all of us. Now, a few details change depending on if you're male or female and maybe what age you are in life. But the general will of God for men, the general will of God for women, the general will of God for young people, the general will of God for children, the general will of God for us on the job, the general will of God for us as citizens in America, etc. The general will of God is laid out for us in the Scriptures, and it's pretty much the same across the board. Pretty much the same for all men. If you're a married man, you're a husband and a father, there's a lot common to us about the will of God. If you're a wife and a mother, there's a lot that's common to you about the will of God. If you're a teenager, there's a lot that's common to you about the will of God. If you are an employee, there's a lot that's common to you about the will of God. If you're an employer, there's a lot that's coming to you about the will of God laid out for us in the Scripture. Okay, but then there are matters that are more involved with the specific will of God for our lives. The specific will of God. This will of God would be unique to me. It would be unique to you. And it'll be revealed through the Bible as I read it. It will also be revealed through some time
in His presence. The specific will of God. For Terry Angels, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. Now, I've got responsibilities that fall within the general will of God because I'm a husband and a dad. That are no different because I'm a pastor than you fellows that work a job out in the world. We're all the same in that area. But I have some matters that are unique to me because God's put me as a pastor of a church. You have matters that are unique to you. All of us do. Now, one of those unique areas would be His will for us when it comes to matters like giving to Faith Promise Missions. That's unique to each one of us. Tithing is a matter that is covered for everybody in the general will of God. That responsibility does not change from person to person. That responsibility doesn't matter what age you are, what gender you are. When you talk about the will of God, friend, and when it concerns tithing, it's the same across the board for everybody. You honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase. You prove Him by bringing the tithes to the storehouse. And Jesus never, ever did away with tithing when we came to the New Testament. That's still the very bottom rung in financial matters for the Christian. The first step to being right is to tithe. That's the same for everybody. You young men that are working that are not married, you don't wait till you get married to start tithing. You're talking about a foundation that's going to crumble. You're building one right now if you're robbing God. So you got to be concerned about that. That's a general matter, okay? No matter the age, no matter what it is, the responsibility to tithe does not change from person to person. No matter the income level, the will of God, as far as tithing goes, is the same for us. It's across the board, always the same. But when it comes to going beyond the tithe, then that becomes a matter of the specific will of God from person to person. What is the specific will of God for Terry Angel when it comes to going beyond the tithe? What is the specific will of God for you when it comes to going beyond the tithe? Because that's where you kick in missions giving. Missions giving is going beyond the tithe. Building fund giving is going beyond the tithe. So here's the question. How do I find God's will for my life concerning giving to missions? How do I find that? How do I determine that? Do I just pick a number out of the blue? Do I just follow my heart's desire? Well, that could be dangerous, couldn't it? Because if you got a hard heart, you won't do what you ought to do. And if you got a bleeding heart, you may do more than you should do. And put yourself into trouble. So I don't know that I would just follow my heart, because that all depends on the condition of the heart. Do I just follow the amount that is recommended from the pulpit? If that's what you're looking to do, friend, it's going to be tough because there's no recommended amount from the pulpit. I haven't said give $10, $12, $20, $15. Well, I don't say there's no recommended amount from the pulpit. So how do the members of Faith Baptist Church, the pastor included, all of us who are part of this body here, how do we find the specific will of God for each one of us in this matter of giving to missions? Because God is interested in that. God does have a will for me, and God does have a will for you. Now, the answer involves going into His presence. We don't have to be in the dark concerning these matters. We can know the will of God for our lives. And I want to say something tonight. God does not play hide and seek. God does not make it difficult for us to know His will. It certainly is not a matter of God playing games with us, like putting a carrot in front of us and tricking us. You think this is it? How about this? You think this is it? God doesn't play games with us like that, folks. So maybe sometimes we're making it harder on ourselves than we ought to make it. How do you find the will of God when it comes to matters like giving to Faith Promise Missions? How do I know what to give? Every year we pass out a commitment card. And you know what? I wouldn't doubt that some folks in this church just put a number on paper. Put a number there. Maybe no forethought given to that thing. No prayer going into that thing. Sometimes people keep it because they just have the ability to keep it. Other times people keep it, don't keep it because it was never the will of God to begin with. So how do you know the will of God when it comes to finding a figure to put on a commitment card? A commitment card is passed out. Here's a figure to put. I got to put a figure on there. How do you come to that figure? How do you know what it ought to be? Well, David prayed in Psalm 143, verse number 10, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God." By the way, thou art my God. See, God has a will for your life, friend. God doesn't just have a will for Terry. God has a will for everybody in this room. God has a will for every teenager. God has a will for every man. God has a will for every woman. God has a will for everybody who is a member of this church. David said, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. I can find out from God what I need to do to be right with God. We are not Catholic. We are not Lutheran. We do not believe that there is a mediator between people and God. We don't believe that you have to go through another man. We believe that you go to God directly yourself as a child of God. And you can find out for God. So David says, Lord, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. I like what he says. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. David is praying, and he simply requests that God teach him, Lord, teach me your will for my life. Teach me your will for my life. And you know what David knows? He knows that whatever the will of God is, it'll be good and it'll be right. God never leads us anywhere. God never desires anything less than good and right for His people. So how do I find the will of God that is good and right for my life when it comes to something like a commitment at missions time? Same thing applies to building fund. How do I find that? Let me give you three easy steps here tonight. Number one, pray with the spirit of willingness. Pray with the spirit of willingness. I want you to see that first phrase in verse number 10. Teach me to do thy will. You notice here, David did not ask to know God's will. David asked to be taught to do God's will. But folks, there's a big difference. Many people ask for a revelation for the will of God, but they have no intention of doing it. None. And David said, Lord, I don't want to just know your will. I want to do it. Teach me to do it. Now, one thing is for sure, folks. If we're not interested in knowing and doing the general will of God as found in the Bible, you're going to find God pretty hesitant to be detailed about His specific will. You got a blind eye and a deaf ear when it comes to the general will of God, and then you go to God and say, Lord, I really want you to teach me to do that specific will. That you're my God and you have a will for my life concerning this matter, and boy, I sure would like to know it, and not just know it. I'd like for you to teach me how to do it and when to do it and how to do it. And God says, you know what? You're not even giving half attention to the things I've already put in the book. So why should He be more specific with us when we won't do what's already revealed generally? That's what He's saying here. You know, many people pray, Lord, help me to live according to thy will. But they have no intention of obeying that will. None. You ever pray that way, folks? Lord, help me to know your will. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you really interested in doing it? Why would God reveal it to us if we're not going to do it? You see, there's no way God will illuminate us concerning His specific will when He knows our hearts are hard, our minds are made up, we're not interested, we're not hungry for truth, we're not anxious to know, we're just fulfilling an obligation to come sit in the service and ho-hum Sunday morning, ho-hum Sunday night, ho-hum Wednesday, and leave, never changed. And then we're going to pray, now Lord, I really need to know your will about this. And God says, what? Three sermons a week, you never make a decision. Three sermons a week, you never make a change. And you want me to believe that you're interested in the specific will, my specific will for your life? I don't think we can pull that over on God. He knows too much. And we can sure talk a big line, folks, but I want to tell you what God wants to see. God wants to see something behind the talk. Lord, what's your will for me? And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible talks over in the book of John about you want to know His will, you do the doctrine. And this is what I'm talking about tonight. You've got to pray with a willing heart. And if you're not submitted and surrendered to the general will of God that's already found in these pages, you start praying for the specific will of God about your job, your children, what God wants for your life, you're tuning a deaf ear to the general will of God. I don't know how far you're going to get. He said, Lord, I don't want to just know it. I want to do it. Teach me to do your will. That's what we all need to pray. The issue of giving to Faith Promise Missions is not a matter of if I should give. It's a matter of what I should give. Lord, I need to give something. So I need you to lead me, and I pray with a willing spirit, teach me to do thy will. I begin by going into His presence with the intention of giving and sincerely wanting to know, God, your will concerning this matter. It's a matter of praying with a willing heart, a willingness to be obedient. Not only what God has already revealed, but what He will reveal to us in the specific matters that we talk to Him about. Yes, very interesting. Over there in Mark chapter, 3 and 4? Boy, the Lord puts a lot of emphasis on hearing, 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 hearing. People who hear and make no changes and make no decisions, and the Word of God never practically affects them. And then we want to pray to God about, Lord, I sure want to know your will. Are you listening to me tonight? It's not just a matter of knowing it, folks. It's a matter of doing it. And that's what David prayed. Father, Lord, teach me to do thy will. You come to God with a willing heart. Now, Lord, I'm trying the best I can to live according to the general will of God as found in your book. And now this matter of giving the Faith Promise missions, they're going to give me a card and I'm a member of the church and I want to do what's right to do. I need to know what you want me to do. So teach me, Lord, to do willingness. Lord, you show me and I'll do it. You show me and I'll do it. So pray with a willing heart. Number two, you pray over what you have. I'm talking about how do you get to the place where you're going to put a number on a card? How do you get to that place? You pray with a willing heart. Number two, you pray over what you have. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to go to the New Testament now. And look at this real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 11 and 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 11 and 12. These are the chapters in the Bible in the New Testament that are probably the most important when it comes to principles of giving. And the principles apply to every kind of biblical giving. So look at it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Paul wrote, Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Do you see that? Out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Read that again. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man has, and not according to what he doesn't have. Now here's what Paul is saying. In fact, he's saying, I do not understand the concept of picking a figure out of the blue and making a commitment on that basis. Well, I would like to give this, so this is what I'm going to give. And I've heard that preached when it comes to faith promise missions giving. You have enough faith to believe that God is going to give to you the figure that you put on that paper. Well, I could put $1,000 a week there. How do I just pick a figure out of the blue? I don't see the Lord working that. You know, there is a chance that I will pick the wrong figure. I can either pick a figure that's too high, too low, or just right. So if I'm just going to just pick a figure out of the blue, I got a 33% chance of being right. That's all. Just by picking a figure out of the blue. I leave too much room for error when I decide on my own how much to give. Now, I want you to notice the references in both verses to willingness. He says in verse number 11, now therefore perform the doing of verse number 11, that as there was a readiness to will, there's that willingness again. And verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, you go to God with a spirit of willingness for Him to direct you concerning the amount to give. And you know where that amount is determined from? It's determined from what you have. It's what you have. This is what I have. Okay? And so you go to God with a... One of the men at the church last night came up to me before the service. And he said, thanks a lot. I said, okay. I mean, it's kind of an odd comment. I said, okay. He said, I had my mind made up that this year I didn't need to increase my faith promise giving. I haven't had a pay raise in 3 years, and, you know, I just felt like I was given a good amount. I sure wasn't going to decrease it. But I was already made my mind up, not going to increase it till the last two services. Now it's not a matter of if I'm going to increase it. It's a matter of, God, what do you want me to increase? But I know the man well. And the man will give out of his... That's what I'm talking about, folks. That willingness. You see, here's the problem. It does not matter if your pool is large or small as long as you possess a spirit of willingness. I'm going to take what God looks at. He looks at the willingness more than He does the amount. He looks at the spirit of willingness. God knows what we have to get out of, and He measures that with our spirit of willingness, and He is pleased when we give what He leads us to give. You know, you fellows that have ever been involved in sports, and thank God for Mike Johnson and Bill Smith. They've been a real help to help get these basketball teams coached the last several games and doing a good job. And we're not having the same referees back after Monday night. They were released for the season. Amen. So anyway, when you get Bill Smith upset, you have to work hard. Amen. But anyway, I wasn't there, but I heard a little bit about it. And he wasn't out of line. He was talking to him at halftime. But when you've got a ball team, I don't care if it's football, basketball, baseball, some players have less ability than others. They can't bring to the table athletically. They can't bring to the table ability-wise what the other players on the team can bring. But it is very evident that they have a spirit of willingness. And even with that willingness, they are still far short of what someone else may bring to the game. But any of you men that have ever coached, what blesses your heart? You know, even though they can't bring to the table what the other guys can bring, they are so eaten up to do their very best. They want to play, and their heart is so willing to do just anything that even though they don't bring to the table what somebody else brings, you sure like to play them. Because they're just a blessing. And folks, that's how it is with God. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, folks, look, you give out of what you have. Some people's pools are very small, depending on where you are in life, and what you're making in life. Some people's pools are very large. And God says the important thing is not whether it's small or large. The important thing is that you come to Him and say, Lord, here is my pool. What do you want me to give? My pool is very, very small. And quantity-wise, what I give compared to somebody else may not seem like much, but Lord, I am just as willing to give that little bit as they are to give that big portion. You understand what I'm saying tonight? It's the spirit of willingness. And you pray over what you have. You say, Lord, this is what I have. Now, you know what I would do? Here's what I do. You go into His presence. You start talking to the Lord. Say, Lord, it's missions conference time. Please bless Brother Baker as he comes to preach to us. Prepare my heart. Lord, for this conference, help me, I pray, to be attentive, to listen, to get something out of it, to be involved in it, Lord. Bless the missionary families that are coming. Give our church a great conference. And Lord, it's time to make a commitment. I sure want to do Your will for my life. Here's what I have. And Lord, I was thinking about X. Mention an amount to the Lord. Lord, I heard Brother Angel say that $12.50 a week supports one missionary family a month for $50 a month. I've been thinking about that. Or I've been thinking about $6 a week. Or I've been thinking about $200. I don't care. It's not the size of the pool that makes the difference. It's the willingness of the heart with whatever size pool you have. Are you listening tonight? So say, Lord, I've been thinking about this. You throw it out there. And then you gauge the Spirit of God's impression on your heart. There have been years when Lord, I'm thinking about this. And immediately the impression of the Holy Ghost was too low. Okay? About this. Or, Lord, this is what I'm thinking. What about this? And the impression of the Holy Spirit may say, you know what? That's a little high. So you get a little, you know, okay, Lord, let me drop it down. Let me knock $5 off, $10 off. What about this? What about? And you talk to the Lord. And when the amount feels right, You lock in there and you meditate and you think on it for a while. If you come to some kind of dollar figure on Monday, then on Tuesday, driving to work, you say, "Now, Lord, yesterday we talked about X amount of money a week. Am I okay on that?" You talk to the Lord. You say, "I just don't think God would be that interested in talking to me about numbers." Well, that's not what Abraham found out. Genesis 18, he said, "Lord, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah for 50? And God said, "Sure, for 50 I'll do." "Lord, how about 45? Would you spare it for 45? "Yeah, I'll spare it for 45. "Lord, hate to bother you again, but how about 40? "Sure, I'll do it for 40, Abraham. "Lord, you're the judge of all the earth. I know the judge of all the earth is going to do right. How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? You're going to tell me God's not interested in talking to you about a number? When he talked to Abraham for how long about numbers? You say, "Well, that was, what if Abraham had said 5? I wonder if God wouldn't have said, "Okay, I'll spare it for 5's sake." "Lord, what if Lot, if Lot's the only saved one down there, would you, who knows where God would have stopped? Maybe Abraham found that place of rest and peace, and that's what I'm talking about. Missions conference time, it's time to make your commitment." "Yeah, let's see. Yeah, you know." Well, that's a noble thing to participate, but is that the will of God? Is that what he wants? It may be more than what God would want. I don't know if that's possible, but it may not be more than the pastor wants, that's for sure, huh? For the missions program. Yeah. Brother Gomez called me Saturday afternoon. He said, "Terry, how'd it go this morning?" And through tears, he just said, how's my church? He was just really, I won't even tell you. I said, they were all in their place, Brother Gomez. All of them were there. In a sweet service. I want you to preach mission. I didn't preach on mission Sunday morning. Preached Sunday night, Monday night, and then something with missions and what they're going through last night. He said, "I'm just praying that God will increase the people's faith through all this. We can do more for missions this year than we've ever done." Now you think about putting a staff member's wife in the grave on Tuesday and then burying the pastor's wife on Saturday. And then, "Oh yeah, by the way, what are you going to give to missions on Sunday?" You think you'd be ready for that? You think you'd be ready for a missions conference? After two trips to the cemetery? You know how much prayer preparation had gone into that thing? None. Physical preparation, they were ready for the missionaries. They had the meals lined up and everything. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Those folks weren't ready for missions. How could they have been? Boy, as we began to preach and get a little attention to that thing and hear the missionaries' testimonies and presentations, you could feel the spirit of that thing picking up. And this is what I'm talking about. God has a will for me when it comes to giving to missions. God has a will for you. Go to the Lord and say, "All right, Lord, here I am in your presence. Thank you so much. I can talk to you about this. Here's a figure I'm thinking about. Lord, help me with that." And let God help you. Too low, too high? Well, how about this? How about this? How about this? Lord, is that what you want? And let him do it in your heart. Now, you know what some people would say? You talk about a large pool and a small pool. I got a no pool. Well, then I guess you'd have to examine your standard of living to determine if there was something you could do without, in order to have something to give so that people could take the gospel to somebody who needs it. And when you've gone through, friend, and cut out everything that you could do without, and that you looked at it and you said, "There's nothing I can do without," then God knows where you are. This is not a matter of God grinding us. This is not what this stuff is all about. This stuff is about a loving Heavenly Father who knows exactly what he wants me to do. Finding that and doing it. You pray with a willing spirit. You pray over what you have. And then once you're there, number three, you happily purpose to give the amount that God has settled in your heart. And that's verse number 7 of the next chapter. Chapter 9. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. That's where it comes from. Okay, Lord. How could you not feel good about coming up with a figure in His presence because He's your God, what He's going to lead you to do is right for you, it's good for you. How could you and I not feel good then when the commitment card's passed out and it doesn't have to be a... can be. Well, because in His presence I got it settled. In His presence, I learned His will. In His presence, I decided this was it. God led me and I directed my thoughts and my mind and my heart. And I pray with a willing spirit over what I had, the pool that I have, the pool that I have, the pool that I have. And I was willing to pray over that pool and say, Lord, what do you want out of here? God says this, and it's in my heart. And now I've purposed it in and passed me that commitment card and passed me the plate next Sunday. I can't wait to obey God and see what He's going to do. Doesn't that sound like a better way to approach it to you? Man. I just don't think God expects us to live that way. In His presence, you can learn His will. It doesn't have to be an excruciating experience. But you've got to pray if you're going to find it. Know it and do it. Simple, isn't it? That's really simple. Very simple, very easy. Maybe you sit here tonight with an open heart to that, saying, you know what? That will help me these next several days. Truth of the matter is, folks, it's not about Faith Baptist Church. It's about these people in these countries. Have you heard at all about Kenya right now? You know what's happening to our missionary over there, Robert Mickey? It's unbelievable. It's chaos. I don't know how many of his church people have been displaced, burned out of their homes, lost everything because they are of a certain tribe. That's all. He's trying to get enough food to his church members to keep them alive. Their church voted to take $2,500 that they have given, no help from the states, that those Kenyan people have given over the last 4 years. Are you listening to me tonight? Over the last 4 years, they've saved $2,500 to put a ceiling over their church. And the men in the church met and said, Pastor Mickey, we have folks who don't even have a home anymore. Why we need to give that money? They've been taking that money and buying food to keep their fellow church members alive. They locked people. They locked men and women and children in a church building and burned them all. That's going on in Kenya right now. We're so numb because of where we live and how we live. We're so numb. We're upset because there's snow on the ground. They're burned out of their homes. That man's got a fantastic church. You know why? Because people over the years here and other places have said, Lord, what do you want me to do? This is what you want me to do. I'll do it. And you've given and given faithfully. Hundreds of those Kenyan people have been saved. Hundreds of them. Because people give to Faith Promise Missions. And we're still living pretty high on the hog. Let's pray together. Dear Father, bless us tonight. Help us to know your will, to do it, to be obedient to you. Lord, I pray for hard hearts to be softened. I pray for apathy to be replaced by concern. I pray, oh God, for a move of your Holy Spirit. Only He can do that. I thank you, God, for a spirit of willingness on the hearts of so many people. God, I pray that you'll please bless, help, and direct us in this matter.
May we not only know Thy will, but do it. Lead us, dear Lord. Teach us to do Thy will in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation tonight. As they play, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way.